Welcome to Peers Like Me, a podcast hosted by Western New York Independent Living. Today, our guest is Tim Van Valkenburg, a peer support specialist with the Addict to Addict program under Mental Health Peer Connection. Our host is Maura Kelly, the voice of the individuals WNYIL serves. Peers Like Me podcast is a regularly broadcasted podcast which educates, empowers, and enlightens our community's understanding of those who have behavioral health barriers and how the utilization of various skills, techniques, services, and supports results in those impacted living fulfilling community membership and participation. Peers Like Me podcast is based on the belief that those who live with disabilities have the right to choose, advocate, and understand everything about living their own life. Currently in September 2024, Western New York is facing an epidemic that is alarming our community of fellow brothers and sisters with behavioral health issues who are dying around us in our neighborhoods and families. It is the opioid epidemic. Peers Like Me has asked Tim Van Valkenburg, a peer support specialist working diligently with Addict to Addict program under Mental Health Peer Connection, to provide hope, information, and resources for those seeking to address substance use issues. Tim, an individual who openly shares his own recovery journey out from the horrors of addiction, will explore a compact life-saving tool we all can have with us to use when we least expect it. It is Narcan.
Hi, this is Maura Kelly from Peers Like Me in the Western New York Independent Living. Welcome to Peers Like Me podcast. Today, our guest is Tim Van Valkenburg with Addict to Addict under the Mental Health Peer Connection in Buffalo, New York. Welcome, Tim.
Thank you. Good morning.
Tim, can you tell the listeners what you do, what your job is, what your job title?
Well, I work at Western New York Independent Living, and I'm under the umbrella of the Mental Health Peer Connections with the Addict to Addict program and the Family to Family. Yep. And what that means is that basically I'm a life peer in recovery myself, mm-hmm. and I help people with substance use disorders in or out of their use, whether they're using, whether they're not using. I help them with resources, help them link up to anything, basically just a giant resource broker.
Okay. So if I had or anyone had questions, they could call you, they could reach out to you.
Absolutely. Okay.
And so that get your pens ready because we're going to have that information, what to call. But Tim, we are in a community and you and I share similar recovery journeys. And I know I've heard a lot of people literally dropping dead. We're in a huge opioid crisis. The Erie County Medical Examiner's Office reported August 3rd of 2024 that this year, 435 deaths have occurred from the examiner's office due to overdose, and that people 60 years or older are 21% of the deaths, and people of color, black people, have, in 2018, they were only 18% of the deaths of overdose. It was reported that they are now 34% of the deaths. And in this report, it says that most people that overdose are overdosing in their homes or very close to their homes, in their neighborhoods. And most of the overdoses occur around Buffalo, not in Buffalo, but in West Seneca and Tonawanda. So it's very concerning for many reasons. One, I don't think people assume that the majority of overdoses are for elderly people or people over 60, and that the deaths are not in the city of Buffalo. And we hear a lot, you and I, that people are just dropping dead. So what are you seeing out there?
You know, very similar. People are using more at home because of the dangerousness of the streets. More particular about maybe where they might get their supply because of the fentanyl and the xylazine.
So what is fentanyl?
Fentanyl, it's a cutting agent that they're mixing in with the drugs that increases the potency of the actual drug. So what you have is basically now street grade drugs that maybe in the past would have been 15-20% are now 5 and 10. Because if you can, and fentanyl is extremely, is cheap. So if you can add that to a substance that you're selling for the same amount and turn that substance, you know, make it three times bigger than what you initially paid for it, thus is the greater profit.
So if you increase the product, you can increase the price.
Absolutely.
And it's a cheap way to increase the
product. Well, you sell more for the small amount that you bought it for.
And what does fentanyl look like?
It's a grainier substance, powdery, like just a very small amount will kill you.
Like a grain of salt.
I heard. Absolutely, pretty much.
So, and I hear this is from China. I don't know if it is. But
I'm not sure exactly where it rooted. Just like xylazine being a mammal tranquilizer.
Yeah.
It all comes from pharmacy.
So what's the xylazine?
Xylazine is a mammal tranquilizer that they're using to cut the drug to. And it produces xylazine wounds, which is similar to the old crocodile disease, where that ate from the inside out. This eats from the outside in.
Okay. So I'm hearing this stuff, and it's bizarro. It's like, what? You know, this does not seem like who in their right mind would do this, take these complicated drugs. And, you know, many people don't understand why this is occurring. And of course, if they knew about this, they wouldn't do it. Like, right? Like, it just logically, it doesn't make sense.
Well, for the person who's in addiction, obviously our thinking isn't correct to begin with, right? We're a little messed up in the head. Myself personally, so I'll use me for an example. Mm-hmm. If I was doing it, and let's say I found out somebody died from a particular drug, as crazy as it sounds, I would want to know where they got it. Because obviously that person didn't do it right, or I wouldn't do as much. You know, I'd have all these ideologies of how they didn't do it right, and that's why they died.
Right.
Not because of the drug in particular. So, and that's the problem. Most people say, well, why are they doing it if they know it's killing people?
Right.
Well, because it's a stronger high, and that's what we're chasing. We're chasing that next one to be greater than the last one we had.
So I know in drinking alcohol, many people drink, like I would drink gin and I would be a different kind of person. So I would say, oh, I'm not going to drink gin anymore. I'm going to drink whatever. Is that the same?
Similar. I mean, with drinking, it's substitution to try to tell yourself that you're not an alcoholic.
Right.
Right. You won't drink on Saturday. You won't drink on Tuesday no more. You'll just drink on Saturday.
Or if I take this drug or whatever, I'm going to be, you know, snarly. So I'm not going to take this. I'm going to,
I'll switch drugs. I'll use less. You know, we do the 101 reasons as to why I'm not an addict or an alcoholic.
All right, right. So recovery is a miracle for people that can recover and abstain and live a functioning life. But we know that's few and far between. And so I've heard a lot about this thing called Narcan. So are you part of that? Like, what is Narcan and what's that all about?
Well, Narcan, plain and simple, saves lives.
Right.
It really does. But it does have a bit of a stigma to it as far as the people that are carrying it. Because most people, because I do a lot of tabling events and I do a lot of Narcan trainings. Narcan is an opioid overdose reversal medication. And it's available either in a nasal spray or an injector. And what it does is it knocks the opioid out of the receptors in the brain for them having that effect, right? So it counter-reacts the opioid, and it works only for opioids. It doesn't work for xylazine. It doesn't work for any other regular drug. It only works for opioids. The stigma is that when people carry it, other people are assuming that they have it because they're an addict.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to erase that because I believe everybody should have Narcan in their vehicle, in their home.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, we have fire extinguishers, but we hope we don't have to use them. You have Narcan and hope you don't have to use it. But if you need to, it'll save a life quickly.
So I was watching the news about a year ago, and they had a video of a daycare mother walking out in New York City in handcuffs because the little kids in daycare got messed with her drug stuff and fentanyl. Like, so I don't think those little kids were drug addicts. Like, I don't, like, that, it can happen. If it's that small,
it can happen anywhere. I pulled into Topps parking lot here in Buffalo, up in the Walden area, and I pulled in behind this lady's car. I seen her car door open. She face planted right out into the parking lot, like fell right out of her vehicle, purse spilled everywhere. I don't know what why she did, but my first instinct, I was out of the truck and coming around when she fell out. I jumped back to my truck. I have two boxes of Narcan in my truck. I carry it all times. I grabbed the Narcan by the cart guy had already called 911. I administered two doses of Narcan, and by the time I had finished with the second, there was already a Cheektowaga police car there. Mm-hmm. So I informed him that I administered two doses of Narcan, and I was good to go. I left. Now, we're protected under the Good Samaritan law that most people don't know about. Good Samaritan law is that it covers you and the person that you're medicating. Mm-hmm. So it covers you and the person you're giving Narcan to. So let's say, hypothetically, because I've had a lot of really strange questions, a Narcan will wake somebody up like instantly out of their overdose. And they may be fearful or they might be angry that you took their drug away from them. They might get up and run. They might throw up. So let's say they got up and ran right into a car and a car hit them. You're not responsible for that, right? Because you're trying to save their life, not harm them.
Right. So could they sue you?
No, not because of the Good Samaritan law. You can't sue you. You won't go to jail.
All right. So how much does this Narcan cost?
It's free.
Okay. So
unless, like, they do have it for sale at some stores, but we have free vending machines. Mm-hmm. You can get it from the Matters program. You can get it from the Erie County Department of Health. You can get it from Overdose Prevention. Mm-hmm. You can get it from ECMC. You can get it from any hospital.
Can you get it anonymously? Can you get it so no one knows you have it?
I believe so, because they have some places where they have them right on the wall in the red boxes. You can open the top and take it out.
Can I carry it in my pocket?
If you take it out of its initial packaging, sure. Right. Because it's the new Narcan is good for a certain temperature and heat and a certain sub-zero temperature and freezing.
But it's small enough to keep in my pocket.
Yes. Right. So it's a nasal spray. It's just like a nasal spray.
So what do we do if and when that we know someone actively using drugs and we love them, or even we don't love them, and we know that the chances of overdose are high because of the epidemic going on, how can we help them stay alive using Narcan? Like, so what can we do?
Educate them and give them Narcan, right? And tell them, like, just like for me, I tell them all the services that we offer at Addict Addict, right? With life coaching, with the job club, with the crisis, center, the renewal center,
right?
With advocacy, you know, we're also in the drug courts. We're in all the city drug courts. We're in the treatment centers. So it's word of mouth. It's education. It's Narcan. It's a holistic approach. Mm-hmm. Not just one thing, I think, is going to solve everybody's problem.
So I know there's like, no one broadcasts that they're addicts, usually. So if I know my significant other is using, how do I convince him to carry Narcan? They're actively using, they really don't care about themselves, they just want that fix. How do I get that? Like, because if they're actively using, they're probably not thinking too well.
Explain just the way that I explain it. Listen, this doesn't need to have a stigma. It's small. You can conceal it. You can put it in a pouch. You can put it in a backpack. You can put it in your pocket. It's just, okay, let's just say you don't want to admit to me that you're getting high. I can tell you what is it for you. It's for somebody you might come across.
Here's a thought. So if I was an active user, would there be incentive if I use an overdose and use a Narcan, I can use again? Like you know, that's really bad to say, but one act to another.
People do, and the one thing we tell people about Narcan is just because you've administered them a dose and they get up and they seem fine, we still would like them to get medical attention because depending on how much drug is in their system or that they've used, they could always fall back into another overdose once you leave.
Okay.
So giving them, like helping them and then giving them something again to help themselves would benefit them.
Right.
Because let's say that person gets up, they're walking down the street, they don't want medical attention, they get around the block out of your sight, and another overdose comes, you know, another overdose comes on and they fall out.
So if I'm in a relationship with this guy named Jim, Jim's actively using, can I say, Jim, take this Narcan with you. If you get in trouble, if someone helps you use it, later on you'll be able to use again. Like, I'm just thinking, is that a way? Is that a life-saving state?
It's an incentive to tell them they're not going to die.
Right, like an addict, an addict is always looking for their next fix, right? So if they use a Narcan, like, I know it's crazy, but...
We're not going to stop when we're in our addiction,
right?
When we're heavily into it, we're not going to stop until a couple of things happen. One, either that we accept the fact that we're an addict.
Right.
Two, that the consequences and the pain become so severe that we seek out change.
Right.
I believe pain is the greatest motivator for anybody seeking any kind. You don't even have to be an addict, and pain can cause you to change.
Right.
So letting them know that that's there, that they won't die, they'll be able to see tomorrow, and if they want to use tomorrow, they'll be able to use tomorrow.
Right.
If you use and you don't have this and you die, you will not do anything tomorrow.
Okay, so it's a life or death conversation.
It pretty much is.
So, Tim, I know you a little bit. We're talking about addiction. We're talking about recovery. Can you give hope to anyone listening? Can you share a little bit about, addiction, you know recovery. Is there hope? Is there a better way?
Listen, I'm a guy that traveled a rough road from childhood, from being physically molested at the age of 11 to foster homes to a boys' home. Mm-hmm. To county jail, to two prison sentences, that was a direct result of my addiction, right? Am I proud of it? No. I was just so far, I believed what everybody was telling me, that I was a statistic, that I was institutionalized, that I was a piece of you-know-what, that I would never amount to anything, that nothing, I would not prosper in life whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And that nobody would want me. Then on top of it, as another result of my addiction and my promiscuous behavior, I contracted the AIDS virus. Mm-hmm. So I was diagnosed with AIDS in 1992, right? So through all of that, and through everybody always putting me down and talking about me, I made a decision on May 26, 1998, which is my clean date. I have 26 years clean. Mm-hmm. I made a decision that I was going to stand up for myself and believe in myself, and that I needed to do something different. I needed to find a new way of life. Mm-hmm. And my pathway is a 12-step program, right? And that's another thing, too, that's cool about my job and addict. We're person-centered, so we don't care what path you choose.
Right.
You know, we don't force you into any one path.
Right.
We just want you to live a better, healthier quality of life without the use of a substance, whatever your substance is.
Just a quality of life.
Yeah, quality. Who does not want to enjoy life?
Right.
Right? So like me, being rejected and abused as a child, and then having some family members disown me due to my criminal behavior, when you look around and realize that your only associate or person that might give anything about you is the drug dealer because you're giving them money, and the person that's sitting next to you getting high with you because you're going to give them one more hit.
Is
pretty sad.
So
I changed from that to where I'm at today, and so now what I do each and every day, and I do an awful lot of 12-step meetings. At least 5 a week, even with 26 years clean. I have a sponsor. I work a 12-step program. I'm not hurting anybody today.
Yeah.
Or myself. I think the only place I suffer in today is in the spiritual department, where spiritually I might feel a little down, but so like the stuff my character defects or my habits today usually only harm my wallet and my spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they're not harming me physically or anybody else physically. Yeah.
So one thing I heard about back in May is that you celebrated your recovery with a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. Like, you were not alone. You were with people that I assume love you and care about you.
My significant other threw me what they call a clean time party, mm-hmm. in Chestnut Ridge Park.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it was something, because it was the first one ever.
Yeah.
So I had never, nobody had ever celebrated. I mean, aside from me going and getting, you know, my tag, mm-hmm. and in a meeting.
Right.
Nobody outside of that, I believe maybe only one other time my family got together with me. So this would have been the first time ever having a clean time party, mm-hmm. in society.
Right. With people that care about you.
Yeah, and people came that I didn't even suspect were going to come.
And all of us with behavioral health issues, you know, we suffer with the community inclusion and loneliness and isolation. It's nice to hear that people are celebrating recovery and that you're not alone.
Absolutely. It's a feeling disease, right?
Yeah.
So I always share this, and it's a funny little quote, is that, you know, my thinking gets in a sexual relationship with my feelings, mm-hmm. and I have a baby called behavior.
Right. Yeah.
Right? So what I think and then what I feel, those shall I act on.
Right.
So in my recovery process, we learn how to correct all that, mm-hmm. to learn that, you know what, this too shall pass. Although I may feel like this, I won't feel like that tomorrow.
Right.
And that no matter what, I don't need to get high.
Right.
I buried a family member. I've buried sponsees. Mm-hmm. I've buried best friends.
Yeah.
I've lost jobs. I've been penniless. Mm-hmm. I've been homeless. Right. I've slept under a bridge, ate out of a dumpster. But just for today,
right,
I don't need to get high. And that's the blessing within itself.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Tim. Now, if someone wants any information or questions about addiction or resources or Narcan, how can they reach you?
Well, you can reach me. You can come right here to the main office at 3108 Main Street.
In Buffalo, New York.
14214. You can reach my work cell at 716, area code 931-2687. And you can also call the office phone, which is 716-836-0822, extension 135.
Do you still have the addict-to-addict phone number?
The addict-to-addict hotline number?
Yeah.
I do not have.
Okay,
shame on me.
It's all right. We'll get that to you. Ernie, yeah, thank you. That addict phone number will follow. Thank you so much, Tim, and hopefully some more lives will be saved. Thank you.
I hope so.
Okay. This is Maura Kelly with Peers Like Me with Tim Van Vilkenburg talking about Narcan and the Erie County opioid epidemic.
When you are ready, seeking and help or information regarding addiction for yourself or a loved one, please call the Addict to Addict Family to Family Hotline at 716-836-2726. You've been listening to Peers Like Me, a podcast that explores issues related to behavioral health, sponsored by Western New York Independent Living with the assistance of the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Today, our guest has been Timothy Van Valkenburg, a peer support specialist with the Addict to Addict program under Mental Health Peer Connection. Our host has been Maura Kelly.